Blog Talk Radio.
Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe,
Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, O.C. Roy. All righty, remember we just came out of the feast called spiritually called Atonement. That is over with. So now we got to find out what's the after effect of it being over with. What do Yahuwah, I got to write that down. All right, if I write that down, that's pretty good. So now, that spiritual feast is over. All right, so now, what do we fall up under behind that? All right. Remember over there in Sirach 10:1, a wise seer will instruct his people. All right. Good enough on that. So we know the Day of Atonement is over with, and something else come behind that, but we got to read it to see what it is. So let's see if we open the lines up on tape number 189, Unlocking the Biblical Mystery of the Bible, tape number 189, and we're going to see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 189, but we only days away from something, and we got to find out what is it. But remember, always stay behind the Bible, so whatever it is, we'll have to find out in writing, and we will be finding out shortly, but let's see who will be on stage for tonight's episode, take number 189. All right, we see the young lions. The young lions is ready to come on stage, ready to holler in the microphone. So let's see if we find Bubba Micaiah Israel, one of the young lions out of Camp 1, and meet and greet him by saying, Bubba Micaiah, tribe of Yah God Judah, Yahuwah be you there, see Ray.
And Yahuwah bless you there. There is real. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That young lion. Excellent. All right. We got another young lion ready to go. He said, look, see, I'm ready to go. I know the urgency this thing is. So look here. I want a piece of the hammer too. I'm one of the more young roaring lions myself. So let's see, can we meet another up-and-coming teacher out of Camp 1, Brother Titus, tribe of Yah God Judah. So when you meet another one of them young lions, tribe of Yah God Judah, you say, Brother Titus, tribe of Yah God Judah, Yahuwah be you there, see Ray.
Yahuwah bless you there, see you Israel, of seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there. Brother Titus, excellent. All right, let's see. We got a mother. One of the mothers ready to go. Look, see, you know, I got a big responsibility on me. I got to watch the young lions and watch you too. So I'm ready to get close to that microphone. And Mother Z, if the table's ready to write whatever comes that she hears, she can write it down, no doubt about it. So let's see what's going on. Mother E, tribe of Yah God Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahuwah be to the LC Roy.
Yep, I bet you see it, Israel, LC Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right, so we know Mother Z is sitting at the table, said, look here, I want to hear something, then I will comment on something. So we can get something going on. Remember one thing, we just came out of, and remember, that's some big stuff. If you just came out of that, then you want to be clear about what's next. So, and that is written, we're going to find out. Let me write that down. I'm going to write that down, too. I better write that down. Mm-hmm. I'll write that down. And get it. All right, good enough. Okay. Mine is in front of my mouth. So, Brother Makai, let's get something going on tape 189 by looking directly at Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Makai, let's get something going on tape 189. Come on.
All right. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Because let your mind can be running all over the place, but what will stabilize you is the word of Yahuwah, no doubt about it. So if that's the case, in that very same hour there, Brother Titus, if that's the case, what do we read in 1 Maccabees 4, verse 46? Let's see which way he wants this lesson to go, Brother Titus. We're going to look at Maccabees chapter 4, verse 46. What's the order of things? Chapter 0, see out in 1 Maccabees 4, 46. What did it say there, young lion?
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46 reads, "And laid up the stones in the mountains of the temple in a convenient place, and that there should come a seer to show what should be done with them."
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding the Bible. You can't get in front of the seer because you lose. But they'll do it all day long. But they understood that when the Bible was written, we could tear down and build. Build and tear down. But we know one thing, if you want Yahuwah hands to be in it with you, you wait till the seer give you the okay from the minister spirit, from the son, from the father, then go. We'll get a case in point. Let's try to do Deuteronomy chapter 10 there, Brother Titus, look at 12 through 15. Let's see what we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 down to verse 15. What's that say there, young lion?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 down to verse 15 of the heavenly Sabbath. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "And now, Israel, what do Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, require of you? But to fear Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, with all your mind and with all your strength." Verse 13, "To keep the Torah instruction, first five books of Yahuwah, and his statutes, which I command you this day, for your good." Verse 14, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heaven is Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and the earth also, with all that therein is." Verse 15, only Yahuwah had delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day."
Mm-hmm. That's big talk. So that will require of Israel is to love some Yahuwah. So that's what is required of Israel to do. Love some Yahuwah. Now this Israel, I just want to pull a rabbit out of the hat there, young line, Brother Titus. This Israel, who is this Israel that he wants to love? Love him. I want to go to the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. I need to find out who this is. He said, "Oh Israel, what do Yahuwah require of you?" Now I need to find out a little bit more about this. Who is this Israel that we can read in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus? Can you help me out about who this Israel is that we can read in verse number 42? Who is this Israel that we can read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 42? Who is this Israel that he wants to love him some Yahuwah? Verse 42.
Book of Leviticus, of the Heavenly Tabernacle, chapter 23, verse 42 reads, you should dwell in booths 7 days. There are Israelites born to dwell in booths.
Mm-hmm. So he's talking to Israel, the who? Young lion, who's he talking to? Israel or who?
The Israelites.
The Israelites. See, that's one of the greatest mystery in teaching again. When you talk Israel, you're supposed to talk what according to the Bible? But Titus?
The Israelites. The Israelites.
The Israelites. Now, that's why we say, that's why we got to be clear, Brother Titus, and we see our elder came on the stage, so we're going to bring him in. So that's why we got to be clear about Luke chapter 12, verse 46 down to verse 48. See, this is a job that only one going to be able to pull this off is Israel, the Israelites. See, and you can't accept it no other way than what the Bible is telling you. So when you see Israel there in your mind, it's supposed to come behind it, the Israelites. Now, somebody say Israel alone, and he teaching, you already know right there and there. You have to have suspect on it, because if he's teaching, you supposed to know Israel is the Israelites. And all the mother names is pagan names that you are extolled on them that we might take care in this lesson. We don't know. So now in Luke chapter 12, verse 46 down to verse 48, he's talking to Israel, the Israelites. So what is he saying that we can read there, Brother Titus? What is he saying in Luke 12, 46 down to verse 48? What is he saying?
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 46 to 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 46. Yahweh of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will apportion his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant that knew his Yahweh's will, and prepare not himself, neither did according to his will, to be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48. For he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes should be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him should be much required. But to whom man hath committed much of him, they will ask the more.
Ain't that something? That's nice. Mm-hmm. See, that's nice. See, one thing you got to recognize that from the pages of the book. He said, now, once you know you are serving the Yahweh, much is given to you as much required, or you're going to be beaten with many stripes. You'll be wondering, well, what happened? Because much is given to you, and you will be beat with many stripes. That's what we just got to read. So we just going to leave that right there, and we're going to find our elder and bring our elder in. He'll tell you all about this broadcast, and we'll get right back on what got to be said as the lesson unfolds in tape number 88, 189. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be to that seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, see you as well, to see you grow. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hey, hold on. One thing we just find out, much is given, much is required, and if the one that is service don't step to the plate, they're going to be beat with many stripes. So we're going to leave it right there and follow your lead as you dress this national audience over 600,000 plus on the international side. You're on the clock, Elder. Take your time and come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, sir, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And as I always say each and every time, it's always a great pleasure to be among those many people that want to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that's always a good thing. And then, as I said earlier during the week, I had both young lions on the phone discussing the words of Yahweh with one of the pastors who was trained in Israel's teaching. Now, that was a good thing, because that lets you know about the book Sirach, chapter 11, verse 35. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. This is why you always hear me say that it's always a righteous thing when you enter straight at the gate, as it tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. 13 says, enter ye straight at the gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there go with it thereat. But looking at 14, it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth into life, few be there that find it. We take that narrow path so that we can find that righteous way, because we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. You hear us say that many times. We're given the knowledge to know that those out there camouflage evil or confused teachings and overly loud bump the drums context. That's right. When they think they're wrong, they get exceptionally loud and fearful with their voice to show you that they're teaching right, although they're wrong. Even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against those of us that know. That's why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending this live broadcast of Yahwah's Ministry. We come to you live with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahwah's Word. Connecting the books, your health, and foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have knowledge, and this is information you came to seek, and now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time is 7:30 to 10:30 of that Friday class. The bottom part is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. If you use this, open up any search engine and right on that search line, type tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, just under this big line, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. In the other device, you might see menu, but again, after clicking this, you'll still see the choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you tenders of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that we mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods that we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come throughout the year. We even have a live program. This feature is available only during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav, and click that red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyadav@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave all those questions that you may have on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I have said many times before, you will only hear that discouraging dial tone. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know of the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address so you can receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. You might imagine he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen before, even now the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. A reminder, you will only hear that discouraging dial tone. Now, if you're helping us at the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter the words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. At that point, just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Blood Talk broadcast, Yahuwah's story is also being simultaneously transmitted on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we are listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Once again, you'll find this is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel writing our show. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But we are given scriptures to speak by the Seer. As a reminder, always be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners, including those pastors out there that want to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. So at this time, where we can get back to our regular teaching, we'll pass our program back over to our Seer Israel. And I have to say, those young lions better be ready. I'm going to let them speak to a few more pastors. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's excellent, brother. That's right. The young lions got to be ready, and they got to make sure they're in order. And it's an order that must be exhibited, and they must be clear about it. So that's a great thing you said that, Elder. All right, good enough. Elder, Mr. T. Now, let's get back to what was on. That was excellent, Elder. You gave me a chance to get myself prepared, and I got a chance to write down a couple of little quick notes down there. Great note checker, no doubt about it. So we're going to come back with Brother Titus, because that was an excellent one we just heard. And now let's kind of do a little investigating on some things. Because something happens after we get through with what we just got through with. Let me find what we just got through with. But kind of just run back to Leviticus 23. What we just got through with first. Let's see what we just got through with. We like to. This is a fast, a 3-hour broadcast. And you know, by the time you get all ready to do something, time is up. In Leviticus 23, there. Young lion, I want to see what we just got through with.
Yes,
what did we just got through with in Leviticus 23? Did we pull this off? And Leviticus 23, young lion, Let's see if we pick it up and see, did we pull this off? In 27 and 32. I want to know, did we pull this off? Matter of fact, give me 23, verse 26 to 28 and 32. I want to know, did we pull this off, a young lineup? Leviticus 23, verse 26 to 28 and 32. I want to know, did we pull this off? Let's see, can we get all locked in with this? Come on.
But in Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 26 to 28, and verse 32. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 27, also on the 10th day of this 7 months, there should be a day of atonement. It should be a righteous gathering unto you. You shall afflict your soul, an offer, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Verse 28, you should do no work in that same day, which is the day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 32, it should be unto you a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict your soul in the night day of the month at evening, from evening unto evening, so you celebrate your Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those can look in the mirror and know that they accomplished that, and that's a good thing. So that have been, and there's no second shot at that. Either you did it or you didn't. So now, young lion, Brother Titus, what it says, we can read in First Peter chapter 2, verse 20 down to verse 22. Let's see what we can read. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 22. What can we read behind that?
We go to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. For what honor is it when you be bought for your faults? You should take it patiently, but if when you do well, suffer for it and take it patiently. This is acceptable with Yahweh. Verse 21. For even hereunto will you call, because Yahweh the Son also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth.
So he left us an example to follow. Follow who steps there? So Titus, who steps we should follow?
His steps, Yahweh the Son.
His steps. Okay. So we're supposed to follow his steps. And what he says in Numbers 23:19 down to verse 23. What he says in Numbers 23. Verse 19 down to 23. What he said that young man, Brother Titus? Titus.
The book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19 to 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 reads, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and should he not do it, or he has spoken, and should he not make it good? Verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment, Torah instruction, to bless, and he that hath blessed, I cannot reverse it. Verse 21. He had not beheld sin in Israel, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel, the Israelites. Yahweh, his Yahweh is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Verse 22, Yahweh brought them out of Egypt, bondage. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Verse 23, surely there is no enchantment against Israel, the Israelites. Neither is there any divination against Israel, the Israelites, according to his time. It should be said of Israel. And of Israel, what Yahweh brought. What had Yahweh brought.
Mm-hmm. So it's nothing that can, no Ouija board, nothing can slow you down if you got Yahweh in front of you, so you in good shape. That's what he's saying. He says no divination, no enchantment, no nothing work if you got your Yahweh up front, and he left you example on how he operates. And we're going to find out how he operates. We're going to find out how do he operate. We'll see and find Brother Makai and find out exactly how do he operate. So we find out right now. As long as you got your Yahweh in front of you, then hey, Mother E, what it says in 54, 16 and 17 of the book called Isaiah, Mother E? Hey, Mother E, in Isaiah 54, 16 and 17, can you help those see out there, Mother E?
Isaiah 54.
Yeah, verse 16 and 17. Can you help those see out on them verses right there? So we're going to find out right now is nobody can and put the Ouija board or put a mojo on you if you got Yahweh right. You got the Yahweh before you. You ain't got to worry about nobody doing anything to you that's contrary to Yahweh. Because he say, I got you if you got me. So you ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
And so that's going to take us to what we had to understand. If you don't follow Yahweh's example, then you up under that. But if you haven't followed Yahweh's example, you're not up under that. As simple as that. So now, what do we say, Mother, in 54, verse 16 and 17 of Isaiah?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16, behold, I have created this mill that blows the coal and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the water to destroy.
Wait, sir.
What?
All right, young lion.
The waste. Okay, the waste. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall strive against thee in judgment thou shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said the Yahweh.
So he said, so he's saying now, listen, in Isaiah, that's been talking to you, Mother. So ain't no weapon formed against you, Israel, the Israelites, that if you got him right, if you follow his steps and his example, you up on the disagreement. You up on a disagreement if you follow his steps, what he stepped at. Now, we're going to find out a little bit more about that. So there you go. So that's very important to understand. This works when you don't follow his steps. For you, no weapon is formed against you that can prosper if you follow his steps. And no divination, no Ouija board, nothing can interfere between you and your Yahweh if you got him right. Now, come back to Brother Micaiah in St. John chapter 7. And we'll look at 1, 2, and verse 7, 16 through 18. Then we'll see what we get out of this. So now remember what you heard. Now we laying a little foundation the way Yahweh wants to be laid. So he'll let you know if you got him right, he got you right. We're going to St. John 7, 1, 2, verse 7, 6, well, verse 7 down to 16. That'd be good enough. St. John chapter 1, 1, 2, 7 to 16. Brother Micaiah, you on the clock. Come up.
St. John chapter 7, We want verse number 1 and verse number 2. And we want 7 down to 16 after that. Book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 1 reads, after these things, Yahweh the Son walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Yada, because Yada Judah sought to kill him. Verse 2. Now, Yada Judah's feast of tabernacles was at hand. Verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify to it, that if the works thereof are evil. Verse 8. Go you up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet, and will come. Verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Verse 11. Then Yada Judah sought him at the feast and said, where is he? 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceived the people. Verse 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of Yada Judah. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Yahweh's son went up into the temple and taught. Verse 15. And Yada Judah marveled, saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? Verse 16. Yahweh's son answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me.
That's big talk with them. So he knew he was crowded on every side. He already knew that all the time, but he told him, y'all go ahead. Y'all go on to the feast. And he made it plain. Y'all go to the feast. He was told him. Look what he says in this verse here, in verse 8. What did he say in verse 8?
In the book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, go you up unto the feast. I go not yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come.
And then he said, what did he say in verse 10?
Verse 10 reads, St. John, chapter 7, verse 10. 10 reads, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as if were in secret. As it were in secret.
So he showed up. He showed up. He told them to go up because, these feast days, you got to go up. So they went up to the feast. But all of a sudden, when everybody was in the feast, peeping around for him, and all of a sudden he appeared, and what did he do in verse 14?
In the book of St. John, 7:14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahweh the Son went up into the temple and taught.
Hey, that's something. Well, Ben, we're teaching. You see what he did? He's looking at it. He knows it's trouble on every side. But when it's time to teach, he was ready to teach at the temple. So remember we read earlier, Yahweh is our example. So Yahweh coming out your mouth, he's telling you got to follow his example. He was hiding his head on every side. All the big dignitaries were looking for him to try to put him in a headlock and run his head into a tree, if they could. But he said, look here, I'll be there. Y'all just go ahead. There will be people among y'all, the brothers, I'm in the midst of these. He said, no, I will not. Father got me. Y'all just going up in there. Y'all get a good seat. You know, the one that got to do a little teaching until I get there, go ahead. But when everything got in the midst of it, then here come Yahweh, step up in there, look at it, and start teaching. See? That's a good thing. Now, what did he say? What did he teach and say? You got to go precept and see. What did he teach and say? Brother Micaiah, back up to the 14th chapter, verse 16 down to verse 19 of Zechariah. What did he say? Now, he went up there. Now, he used the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, we get ready to get into that again, but that's where he was at. He was teaching, and he went up from Galilee. You know how many miles from Galilee to the temple? 70 miles. So he walked his 70 miles, and he was there. Are you greater than he? Don't you supposed to follow his example? What you supposed to do now? Keep that in mind. So now, in Zechariah 14, 16 down to verse 19, let's find out a little bit more about that, Brother Micaiah. What did the seer say behind that in Zechariah chapter 14, 16 down to verse 19?
All right, Zechariah chapter 14, 16 down to 19, 16 reads, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Judah shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Verse 17, "And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Yahweh to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Verse 18, "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Verse 19, "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles."
Ain't that something? You mean if you don't keep the feast, and this is what he was proving. You mean if you don't keep Yahweh's feast, I don't care how much you know of him, but if you ain't keeping his feast according to verse 19, what do you got coming? And that's what he was teaching on. He knew they had already cornered all of the disciples and all the disciplined ones already and cornered them up. Where you at among y'all? Is he with us? Oh, he ain't going to come up. Good. Okay, good. But Yahweh knew that. And in the last lesson, a couple of days ago, it was a reason why that happened. So it's in that tape. If you missed that tape, go back and recheck it. So, what he was saying to those that did not keep the feast, and that's why he left a day of repentance open for you. But remember what he says. Well, matter of fact, let me bring Mother D up Israel. She don't came on stage. Let me bring Mother D up Israel into this. You see, you know, I come by. I want to holler in the microphone too. So let's see. Mother D up Israel. She's looking at seeing there. Don't forget it. I like to holler in that microphone too. I like to rap back and get all in there. I do. I got my eye on the young lines, and I got my eye on you too, Sir. Well, that's a great thing. Now, Mother D up Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahweh be with you, S.E. Ray.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel of Seroah. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother D up Israel. Now, Mother D up Israel, you know, they was cornering him on every side, no doubt about it. They had him hemmed up. But one thing he did know, and St. John 7, verse 6, he had the best hand. And what was that best hand that he had in 7, verse 6 of St. John? And I'll meet you in Romans chapter 3. What he says in St. John 7, verse 6?
Romans chapter 3. Okay. St. John.
What do it say in 7, verse 6?
St. John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
He said that? He said, but my time has not come. See, he already knew it, but your time is always. See, you know what mystified old seer? If he knew his time, and we will see, if we will hear the word of Yahweh, and what do we say, and what do Yahweh tell? He raised a young man from the womb there, mother. He looked him eyeball to eyeball in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And he said something to him in verse 10. He said something to him in Jeremiah 1, 4, 5, 9, and 10. Let's see what he says that we can read in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse, chapter 1, 4, 5, 9, and 10. What did he say that mother D of Israel? What did he say that we can read?
Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4, 5, 9, and 10. Verse Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a seer unto the nation. Verses 9. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nation and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Yeah, that's big talk with them. So that's some great big talking right there, see. So now if you understand your position, this is what we're trying to tell you. When you understand your position, you have to find out all is required of that position and be the best you can be in that position. So that's plain. So now Jeremiah was told, Jeremiah, your position is, you can't be cat talking in no time. You have to root it out. Then you got to build, tear down, and build it back. So whether you know it or not, and that's the same thing going on right now, that's why you see the land is there, but it's there for a reason. That's why you got to know your role according to the scripture. You want Yahweh to intervene? You got to know your role. Whatever your role is, you got to be the best you can be in that role. Whatever your role is. All right, now where are we going with this? You'll find out it shortly. Now, mother, let's run at Romans chapter 3, because he's telling you something in the third chapter, verse 1 and 2. Romans 3, 1 and 2.
Romans
chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. What advantage then has Judah, or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse 2. Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of Yahweh.
Wait a minute, mother. You mean it is advantage to be a bloodline Judah? What is he trying to tell them? Remember, he got to the great big temple. He told them plainly, is a penalty for not keeping the feast days. And he said, I'm going to hurt you for it. We read that. So Judah, what advantage do Judah have? Because they was committed, what mother in verse 2?
Verse 2, march every way chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of Yahuwah.
So once you know that you Judah, you gotta go. Because you've been committed the oracles of Yahuwah. So you can't, you gotta go. Once you understand these things, now we're coming back, Brother Micaiah. Now come back again and give me that verse one more time in that Zechariah 14:19, one more time again. So this is what he was reading. See, this is what he was reading in Zechariah 14:19. He was reading something. What is it? That's what he was reading when he started teaching. Because remember one thing. At the feast, you came out of tribulation. You're an atone. And then now you think it's all honky-dory. No. What did Yahuwah do? Remember, he said he left you example that when they all got in there and at the midst of it, at the middle of it, he started teaching seed right here. And he was teaching right there. He said those that did not come up as he did and know he was troubled on every side. He said, what in 14:19 of Brother Micaiah, what he said in 14:19?
Okay, going over to the book of Zechariah. Chapter 14, and we want verse number 19. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 19 reads, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles.
Is it punishment? So you can roll the dice all you want. According to what he just said, told the seers, tell them, it was a punishment by not keeping these feast days. By not keeping these feast days, it is a punishment. You might not get it today, but you'll get it tomorrow. Matter of fact, we got another one of those young lions that came on stage. He said, look at that. I want to get in that microphone, too. Now, let me get on that microphone. Got the captain. The captain came on stage. So we think the captain want to hold that microphone too. Let's see. See what men bring our captain in. Captain Jordan, driver y'all got Judah.
And Yahuwah bless the seed of Israel, a seed Roy. Yahuwah be with you. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right. Okay. If Yahuwah be with me, then I'm going to say Yahuwah bless you. Good. Excellent. All right. All right, Yahuwah. Captain, we found out one thing there, Captain. We found out that, Chapter 12, 46 to 48. Let's revisit that, Captain Urban. Let's
You on the clock, come out.
Mark chapter 12. Ain't no 46 or 48 in Mark, Phil.
Okay, if it ain't there, then what I need then? So if it ain't Mark, then what do old Seer need? So let's find out. Now, which one of them young lions gonna tell old Seer, okay, if Seer come up with a verse not there, then look at Mother D.F. Israel said, Seer, Luke 12, 46 to 48. That will open the answer right there. Make it Luke chapter 12, 46 to 48. All right.
Hallelujah.
So that's the key right there. Luke chapter 12, 46 to 48. Thank you, Mother D up Israel.
Luke chapter 12, verse 46 to 48. And it reads, the master of that servant will come in a day when he look not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant, which knew his master's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
So if you got a position in the six anointed camps, according to verse 48, automatically you're supposed to do what there, Captain? According to verse 48.
Know the more. Know the more.
You're supposed to do what? Hold on there, young line. We want another one of the young line to get a number one answer. Give me a number one answer in that verse 48, you one of the other young lines. Come on. What is he saying in that verse 48?
Much is given to him.
They will
much
ask
require
for more.
They will ask for more.
That's the number one answer.
That's what I said.
They will ask for more. If you got a position, you in that position, you well look. Hey, I want to do more, and that's the game changer. So that's what when he got on that great big stage, that's what he was telling those that's in anointed leadership automatically will say, hey, I know what I'm on. I want to do more. That's the game.
Hallelujah.
All right. Good.
Hallelujah.
Since we know what you look for is the asking for more in leadership. That's the sign of core description. So that's what he was doing on that platform at that great big temple of Yahweh, letting the leaders understand one thing. If you in leadership, automatically you're going, let's run. And we're going to take a look at something right now because we know we just got to complete something. Captain, we go on Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll look at verse 1, 2, 4, 9, 26, and 31. That we want to get on tape, folks. We're going to see what we get out of Leviticus 23, 1, 2, 4, 9, 26, 31. Captain Joseph, you on the clock, come out.
Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 and 2, verse 4, verse 9, verse 26, and verse 31. Verse 1 and 2 reads, and Yahweh the Son spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh the Son, which you shall proclaim to be righteous convocation, even these are my feasts. Verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh the Son, even righteous gatherings, which you shall proclaim in their season. Verse 9. And Yahweh the Son spake unto Moses, saying, verse 26 reads, and Yahweh the Son spake unto Moses, saying, verse 31 reads, ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
Mm. I'll read verse 26 again.
Hallelujah. Well, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And Yahweh the Son spake unto Moses, saying.
Now the WCC 500 million members, I don't see no Yahweh the Son in there. So they said, we don't see no Yahweh the Son in there. Well, what are we going to do on that point? Hey, Mother E. They said they don't see Yahweh the Son in there. And although we heard it read out there first. So let's find out what did the captain put on the table that we can kind of go back and show that he is there. You got to read your Bible. So, Mother E, let's run to St. John 5. We're going to St. John chapter 5 and pick up verse 43. Then we'll skip down to verse 45. Take it down to the bottom. Let's see, can we, since we're hearing the word Yahweh the Son and the WCC 500 million members say we don't see him there. Well, let's do a little precept in there, Mother E. Let's run to St. John 5:43 and peep at that and see what we see there.
St. John chapter 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
Mm-hmm. Let's get down to verse 45. He's talking now. So he got the 12 followers, the disciplined ones. He got the ear. And then he's going to say something to them in verse 45 all the way down to the bottom. What does it say in verse 45 there, Mother E?
Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accused you, even Moses, in whom you trust. 46. But had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Verse 47. If you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words?
Hmm. So Moses is the author of the first five books. So Moses is the first five books. So now since we know Moses wrote to him and he in the first five books, so we both be able to pick up Yahweh, Brother Micaiah and Genesis 1:1. Let's see if we pick him up because it might come up. Somebody might say, I hear you saying Yahweh the Son. Well, I can't read that. So then you got to stop reading the email and check the gang cells down and say, yeah, he's there. You just got to know how to bring him in. Let's go. Let's see if we find him. So we open your Bible now. Genesis 1:1. Brother Micaiah, let's see if we find Yahweh the Son in Genesis chapter 1:1.
In the book of Genesis, we want chapter 1. And we want verse 1. Genesis chapter 1:1 reads, in the beginning, Yahweh the Son created the heaven and the earth.
So he is there. So he is there. But for the 600,000 that's listening on the international side along the WCC, he's there. You just got to know how to pick him up. So now we're going back to the captain. And now we be clear that he is in there, but you got to precept him and to bring him out. Look what they say.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, now come back up, Captain. We're coming on back down to what we read, verse 26. Now let's come back and read verse, read 31 again. Leviticus 23:31.
Hallelujah. What? Leviticus 23, verse 31. Leviticus 23, verse 31. And it reads, "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellers."
Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to Yahuwah's feast days, you're supposed to do no manner of works. Now, here goes a case in point, and let's precept that, because Yahuwah made a profound statement there, Brother Titus. He says something
from
the book of Sirach 29, verse 21 and 22. Let's see what he said that we can read. Now, why he tell you do no manner of works? Let's see what he got written in Sirach chapter 29, verse 21 and 22.
We're going to the book of Sirach to see it. Chapter 29. Verse 21 and 22, Sirach, chapter 29, verse 21 and 22. "And the chief thing of life is water and bread and clothing and a house to cover shame." Verse 22, "Better is the life of a poor man in a mean cottage than delicate fare in another man's house."
Back up again, reverse. Back up one verse again. He's saying something here. He's making a profound statement here. I gotta go back and investigate that. He's saying something here that we gotta bring that up. Bring that out again, young line. Back up again and read that 21-22 again. He says something got a whole big piece of meat on it that we can read. Read that 29-21 again.
Sirach chapter 29, verse 21 and 22. Sirach 29, verse 21. "The chief thing of life is water and bread and clothing and a family to cover shame." Verse 22. "That is the life of a poor man."
Go ahead.
Verse 22, Sirach 29, 22. "Better is the life of a poor man in a mean cottage than delicate fare as another man's family."
What is he trying to tell us? We know he's trying to tell us something. I'm wondering, what is he trying to tell us that we can read? He's trying to tell us something. And the only way we get understanding there, Brother Titus, all we can get understanding is 119, 104. He's trying to tell us something in Psalms. What is he trying to tell us behind this? Psalm 119, 104. What is he trying to tell us there, young man?
We're going to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalm 119, 104. "Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, hate every false way."
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the only way you understand what I'm saying, you have to precept your Bible. That's the only way you understand what I'm saying. So, and we clear that you can, Yahuwah the Son is in Genesis 1:1, by through the precepts. But what is he saying right here? Now we're going to find out what he's saying there, Brother Micaiah. Let's see what he's saying in the ninth chapter of Mark, verse 42 down to verse 50. He's saying something here. I just don't know what he's saying. So he's saying you got to go precept your Bible. If you don't precept, you're going to mess around and make a statement, and you'll get in front of the book, and that's not the answer. Let's find what he's trying to tell us. And he said the chief things of life is water, bread, and clothing, and a house to cover your shame.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he trying to tell us that we can read? We're going to Mark chapter 9 and look at verse 42 down to verse 50. What are you saying there? Brother Micaiah, come on.
In the book of Mark chapter 9, we want verse 42 down to verse 50. We're going to Mark chapter 9, verse 42 down to 50. Verse 42 reads, And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, and he was cast into the sea. 43. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. 43. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 45. And if your foot offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter whole into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. 46. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 47. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh with an eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its salt, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another.
Hallelujah.
So when he got to that great big temple, he was saying that, you know, a lot of times you say, well, you know, I messed around, I didn't get a chance to get my schedule right and all that, and I got opportunity to do double time, triple time. He said, yeah, okay. You got opportunity to do all these things on me suffering for you, and you got no gratitude to see that I suffer for you. And you ain't going to do what I tell you to do, we're going to take it in a little bit. So now, Brother Mackay, let's go and see about this race. Because a lot of times he says the main thing you're supposed to have in your mind when you understand his word, the chief thing is to make sure you got water, bread, I mean food, clothing, and a house to cover your shame. He said, now, if I have put that before you, and you know my time is coming up, knowing that if you do not keep, now I'm going to kill you. I'm telling you up front, if you don't keep my feast day, I'm going to kill you. We read that in 14:19. Did we read that, Brother Mackay? Did we read 14:19? Can you read it again out of the mouth of seed? You remember, in the book, Amos 3, verse 7. He revealed his secrets. He said, I would do nothing. I don't care if I feel what I'm going to do. And then their job is to get to the elders, and that's the ball game. Then the elders take it on to the fathers, the teachers, and whatever. But he said in 3 verse 7, so he's telling you, listen, everybody trying to get ahead, but understand, if you know that you, especially if you know you're Judah, and you cameo this, you got the biggest price to pay. Matter of fact, hey, Mother E, let's see if they got the biggest price to pay in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17-18. Let's see what we can read, Mother E. And in the book of 1 Peter 4, 17-18, can you help those see out, Mother E?
1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and verse 18. Verse 17. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the temple of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the covenant of Yahweh? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unyahwali and the sinners appear?
Hey, Mother, you said the righteous is going to be what? What do you say about the righteous again? I mean, the one that, hit that lick every now and then. What do you say about the righteous? They gonna be
watching. Yes, they be saved.
See that? So look here. Yahweh saying, look, the righteous is gonna be scarcely gonna be saved. Now imagine how the poor that's gonna pay him no level.
We are poor.
Imagine what they got coming. Just imagine what they got coming. If the righteous gonna scarcely make it by doing what he said to them, what you think gonna happen to those that, matter of fact, we might well get an idea what's gonna happen. Oh, Mother D.F. Israel. We might well get an idea. So, I mean, it's really what's gonna happen. In 66:24 of Isaiah, you wanna know what's gonna happen? Okay, we'll show you what's gonna happen. We're going to 66:24. Remember, if you want to know what Yahweh is going to do tomorrow, you go back and look at yesterday by precepting your Bible. So you want to know what Yahweh is going to do? Okay. Let's find out on the one that paid what he got written on never mind. They always find something else to do, and they've got six locations wide open. Get in one. Yahweh came 70 miles to lead by example. And he was troubled on every side. But when they all got up in there, they had the spies outside waiting on him. The next thing you know, they fired out one day, he was on the microphone talking that, thus says Yahweh. And reminding those understand that here. And he was taking care of one that was not here. Got it? Good. Now, what you reading that mother in 66:24 of Isaiah? What did it say that mother? Hey, Mother D.F. Israel. What did it say in 66:24?
Oh, I didn't hear you say my name. Okay, you said Isaiah?
Yeah. 66:24. What did it say that we can read?
Okay.
So he got behind that microphone. He started quoting scriptures that was written. And he also, while he was behind that microphone on that great big feast day, he quoted 66:24. And what did he say? Of Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
Hallelujah.
He said, when it's all said and done, you're going to be able to go and peep at the ones that paid me no never mind. You're going to be able to go and see them burning in the fire. See that right there? So when you talk to you got a punishment day coming. And your punishment day is not a slap on the wrist. It's a second death in the fire. So you keep on just rolling and keeping moving. But when it's all said and done, your punishment, you will be in the fire. He said you're going to be able to go forward. You'll come out of Saturday classes when they were saying Rick Savage. Then you go there and watch Grandma and Aunt Willie Mae and Uncle Buck. You'll see them all up in there that drag their feet on keeping them feast days. They will be in the fire. And now he said in 14:19. So understand that precept of that punishment is a fire where you're going to be in there. And he not only that, he going to throw some worms in there on you too, had a worm biting on you and the fire going. So, you see, he told us in that. Remember in Amos 3:7, he will do nothing, but he will reveal his secrets to his servants to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now you read exactly what's going to happen if you continue, you don't do what the man saying. Your time is always. He said, I'm going to punish you. And now we know the punishment is going to be. You see that? Now, we'll leave that right there on that punishment. And we're going back to the captain. And that's just get a little bit more. So now we're going to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33. Let's see what we can get out of this. So now we see what we can get out of this. Now you're clear about when you precept your Bible, you will get the answer. Don't try to talk your way through anything. Be prepared to precept your Bible and paint the picture well. Let's see what it says in 23:33. What it says in 23:33?
Leviticus 23, verse 33. And Yahweh, the Son, spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 34.
So who's doing the talking again to Moses there, Captain?
Yahweh the Son.
Okay, good. Let's see what he says in the next verse.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34. And it reads, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh.
But wait a minute. Now, Yahweh is telling Moses to tell the children of Israel what in verse 34?
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Yahweh.
Oh, so this feast is coming up. It ain't got nothing to do. We've got the facilities, all six locations open. But you mean this ain't the feast of boys of the children? Like, no.
Hallelujah.
This is the feast of who again?
The feast of Yahweh.
Oh. So what we tell our loved ones, this have nothing to do with, you might have a problem with anybody in the Sixth Anointed Council, but this ain't about the Sixth Anointed. It's got the locations open for you. But this is a thing to who? So this is what this piece is about. It's about the Feast of Tabernacles. It is for Yahweh. And how many days did Yahweh say it is command of you to do it? According to verse 34.
7 days. Verse 34. Leviticus 23, verse 34. It reads, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh.
You see that? So this feast is for 7 days. But he gonna break it down. It's a lot of things we got to understand. So this feast will be for 7 days. That's the order of Yahweh. So all six locations will be open for 7 days.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
See, that's the key. 7 days is the feast. And that's why he made it plain, Brother Titus. And
that's right.
39, verse 26 to 35. Hey, Brother Titus, what do you say that we can read in Surah 39, verse 26 down to verse 35? What did he say?
Regarding the book Surah, the Seer, chapter 39. Verse 26 to 35. Surah 39, verse 26. Read. The principal things for the whole use of man's life are water, fire, iron, and salt. Flour, wheat, honey, milk, and the blood of the grape, and oil, and clothing. Verse 27. All these things are for good to the Yahweh, so to the sinners, they are turned unto evil. Verse 28. These be spirit, ministering spirit, y'all created for vengeance, which is in that spirit, lay on sore source in a time of destruction. They pour out their force in the peace of wrath of him that made them. Verse 29. Fire and hell and famine and death. All these things were created for vengeance. Verse 30.
Wow.
For wild beasts and scorpions, and serpents, and the sword, punishing the wicked to destruction. 31. They should rejoice in his commandment, Torah instruction, and they should be ready upon earth when need is. When that time is come, they should not sin against his word. Verse 32. Wherefore, for the beginning, I was resolved and thought upon these things and have left them in writing. Verse 33. All the works of Yahweh are good, and he will give every needful thing in due time. Verse 34. So that a man cannot say, this is worse than that, for in time they shall all be well approved. 35. And therefore, praise ye Yahweh with your whole mind and mouth. Bless the name of Yahweh.
Hallelujah. So now what he's saying to you, I mean, I hope you it's clear what he's saying to you, the thing that he allow you to be. See, a lot of times we get off into this luxury of the world thing and put Yahweh on the back burner, you know, but you can be set up for that. But he'll tell you what the principal thing is that you supposed to make sure you have a principal thing for you. So now if you not in that kind of environment where you got to get your back bent down all day long for these things outside of this, you ought to correct yourself, come down to Yahweh's business. Is because he made a claim. I'll tell you what, Brother Titus, give me that 45 verse 5 of Jeremiah. Then I want to come back with Micaiah back in that 12th chapter, verse 16, and get a case in point. I need a case in point. So now, 45 verse 5 of Jeremiah. Now, Yahweh, you know, Baruch was the writer of Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah was receiving the word of Yahweh, Yahweh stopped and said, listen, Baruch over there, although he's the writer, but he got another spirit on him, Jeremiah. So now, look what he says in verse 45, verse 5. What he say there, Brother Titus, what he say in 45, verse 5?
The book of Jeremiah, the seer, chapter 45, verse 5, reads, and speaketh you great things for yourself. Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, said Yahweh. But your life will I give unto you for a prey in all places where do you go.
So what did he tell Jeremiah? He's wait a minute, Jeremiah, you go tell old seer, or that old writer, Baruch, and thou seeketh great things for thyself. You worry about yourself. I'm going to take down the whole nation of Israel, just like right now, with a prophet who's shining and building the nation of Israel for a shout. And all on your mind is yourself. See, if you got on your mind for yourself, he says, seek that not now. He says, don't do that. I've told you what the thing that I'm going to allow you to have. Because you got a calling on you to do some business for some dust, says Yahweh. But Mother D of Israel, but what did he call these people in 13, 8 through 10, Mother D of Israel? So he said now in Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10, so he says in 45, verse 5, he says, Jeremiah, you tell Baruch, the writer, the one that's sitting there writing, when I give it to you, and he's writing it down. He said, and seek thou great things for thyself. Oh, it's about you now, Baruch. He said, seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh. See, we got to tell you what this man going to get ready to do. And we want to tell you that he got a ministry to be a light. But you got to lead by example. Now you find this feast day is not no cameo feast days. It is a seven-day feast. And we're going to talk about more about it shortly. But the feast is 7 days. But it's a reason why it's 7 days. And we will find out in this lesson why this feast will be 7 days. We're going to find out shortly. But now, what did Jeremiah write there, Mother D of Israel, in the 13th chapter, 8 through 10? What did he write?
Jeremiah chapter 13.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 8 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 9. Thus says Yahweh, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Israel. Verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their minds and walk after false Yahuwahs to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
He says, these people, Judah, the one that got up front to do my business, supposed to know my will, he called them a what? What did he call Judah, the southern kingdom? Mother?
Evil people.
Good for nothing.
Evil people. And what makes you evil? When you refuse to hear my words. So what would make you evil? When you refuse to hear his words. You hear his words now. What he did, and he was troubled on every side, and he still end up at that temple teaching when all the snakes was everywhere around him. And he was comfortable doing it. That's the same spirit you got to have. Because Mother of Israel, in Jeremiah 44, verse 4 down to verse 6 says what? What it says in Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 4 down to verse 6. Let's see what he says. And let's see if it come to pass.
Jeremiah chapter 44, verses, what is that, verse 6 through
four,
to what?
4 and 6. Verse 4 down to verse 6.
Jeremiah 44, verse 4 to 6. Verse 4. How big I sent unto you all my servants to see, raising early and sending
rising early and sending them,
saying, ho, do not this abominable thing that I hate, verse 5. But they hearken not, nor incline their ears, to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto false Yahweh. Verse 6. Wherefore my fury and my anger was poured forth and was kindled in the city of Judah and in the streets of Israel. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day.
Is that so? Is you there? Is it wasted as unto this day? Is you there?
That's right.
It is wasted unto this day. Is that true? Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh,
I can't hear nothing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's good talking there. He said, you gotta understand something. My sheep, they hear what I'm saying. They get busy. Matter of fact, you will know how much busy they get. Hey, Brother Makai, how busy they get in Jonah chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3. Let me see how busy they get. He said, my sheep hears my voice. Now he will tell Jonah, he said, Jonah, are you the seer of the hour right now? He said, yeah. Well, then you leave an example on how I like it. So it's Jonah chapter 3, 1, 2, and 3, Brother Micaiah. Let's find out how Yahweh likes to see his servants operate. 3, 1, 2, 3, come on.
The book of Jonah, chapter 3. We want verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, and the word of Yahweh came unto Jonah the second time, saying, 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and teach unto it the teaching that I bid you. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey.
Whoa, what was he doing, young lad? Now, the average man to get to what the point he was at, to get to Nineveh, it takes 3 days. So what was Jonah doing to get there in one day?
Running.
Jonah was running.
And that's how you got to take care of this man's business. If you don't take care of this, well, he gave you an example how he wanted his business taken care of. You don't put this off. He told you what you look for. He told you that I gave you a day of atonement. But we find out if you're taking the atonement, much is given, as much is required. But he said, by you taking it, but the ones that didn't, it's a punishment coming on them that they were great. And you don't want to be in that line, period. Got it. Good. Now, Brother Micaiah, in that 12:16 out of verse 21, can you have to see that in that book of Luke? Because, you know, he told you what the principal thing about life is all about. He made it plain. Now, let's get a case in point. Somebody want to come up another way that made himself a thief, although he was a rich person. Let's see the parable he got in 12:16 out of verse 21. What he said, we can read that, Brother Micaiah. Luke,
right.
Chapter 12:16 out of verse 21.
We're going over to the book of Luke. We want chapter 12, and we're going to read 16 down to verses 21. Luke, chapter 12, verse 16 reads, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man bought for plentiful. 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Verse 18. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build graves, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, so you have much good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But Yahweh said to him, you fool, this night your soul should be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Yahweh.
You know what I'm saying? Easy. So I told you what you're going to have. He said, go ahead. Just go ahead. Keep on. Keep on. Well, you know, we need to get this. We need to get this. We need to get that. And you forsook what Yahweh got to take. And you're doing your own thing. He said, no, guess what? I just might kill you. Then where all that stuff going to go? You don't think Bob will be the one got his foot on top of your table while you're so more stressed out. See that? See? So you tell me you must be rich in Yahuwah. And only be rich in Yahuwah, you got to build urgency on what he got written in his book, especially if you got to call it on you. You have to lead by example. First one in, last one out. Let's get one more case on that. Titus, let's get one more case on that. So you said about the rich man. We want to show you what the how was the rich man dressed. We want to find out even by what he had on. Let's go to 17th chapter of Luke and pick it around by verse 19. Let me show you what the rich man was wearing. And you know, and they love to do this thing. He can tell you what the rich man had on. Verse 19. We read a little bit. We'll take it down to verse 25.
The book of Luke, chapter 17. Verse 19 to 25. Book of Luke, chapter 17.
16.
Luke chapter 16.
Pick up verse 19, not verse 25.
All right, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 25. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Read. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed supplies every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 21, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sword. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the ministering spirit in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Seeing Abraham afar and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and sent Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in his flame. Verse 25. For Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received it. Your good things, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented.
Yeah, see about the rich man in purple? Yeah, you purchased standing green now. But when it's all said and done, you and that old purple, I'm going to bond that purple and you in the fire. There's right there. Now, well, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I know I'm in bad shape in this fire. But can you do one thing for me? He said, can you do one thing for me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say in verse 27 and 28? He said, hey, Lazarus, would you do one thing for me? Since you skinning and grinning real good, would you do one thing for me in verse 27 and 28? What do you say?
Luke chapter 16, verse 27 to 28. Then he said, I pray you, therefore, Father, that you would have sent him to my father's family. Verse 28. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come in his place of torment.
You see that? So you better tell your Lord was up the top. If you're not keeping what he got written, the Sabbath days, feast days, random friends, and got some urgency about Yahuwah's business, your ear will be tormented in the fire. He said, go tell my brothers. You know, go tell them to tighten up. Because they don't want to come where I'm in the fire being tormented. So you got to tell your loved one off the top. You're not just saying Yahuwah. You're not keeping the Sabbath day. You're not keeping the feast day. You're not just saying Yahuwah. You're going to be in the fire. And the fire going to have worms on you. And here's the message saying, go tell them now. Let them know. I don't care how holy and thy is. If you don't line up with this Bible, you will be in the fire with the rich man wearing the purple. Got it? the captain again. Now we own something. We study on something.
Oh.
Back to the captain again. Now we read, we left off in Leviticus. Now we got to give you mean all that was in that? Yeah, all that was in that. That's what the next verse say. Now what we left off on, Captain, what's the next verse say? We'll tuck it at real good. So what's the next verse say?
Leviticus 23, verse 35. On the first day shall be a righteous gathering. You shall do no servile work therein. Verse 36. 7 days.
Hold that point right there. Hold that point right there. So 35. So on the first day of this feast, now remember, on the 14th, at night is the 15th. So the 14th is going to be, what night that going to be, in your mind, what night is the 14th? But at night, it's going to be 15th. What is it going to be on?
Friday.
The 15th
coming up Friday evening.
Friday evening. Okay, so now we paint the picture. This Friday evening will be the 15th. When the sun set on the 14th, this will be Friday evening. What we read now will be Friday evening. Now, when we get there on Friday evening, what's supposed to happen in verse 35?
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 35, and it reads, on the first day shall be a righteous gathering. You shall do no servile work therein.
That means no work for money. That means I want to go grab that quick double time. No. That's why he told you you got to set your priorities up according to his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, once you line up, you made it plain about gaining the whole world and lose your soul. We just got through reading it about the rich man. He said, what should I do?
Hallelujah.
You know, he got everything. But the Yahweh said, I'm ready to kill you. Okay? So you don't want to violate what Yahweh the Son received from his Father. His doctrine ain't mine. So he's telling you on these feast days, you understand what he's saying. On the first day of this feast is a righteous gathering. You do no servile work. That means no work for money. Tell the boss in advance. That's why you got to sit and stay according to the Bible. If you got a call on you. But if you ain't got a call on you, you still got to follow rules and regulations by watching the example. Okay, now we got that out the way. So we know that first day of that feast is going to be a righteous gathering. Now we want to know what happened next. Revelation verse 36.
Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 36. And it reads, 7 days to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a righteous gathering unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, the Son. It is a solemn assembly. And you shall do no servile work therein.
Mm-hmm. Now, we got to paint that picture 36. Now, that's some big talking. I mean, we just ain't reading it. It said in 7 days you should make an offering. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We got to precept that and get the idea. What do you mean by make an offering? Or by fire? What are you talking about? Let's bag up in the captain. Bag up it and get from the seals first in Psalms 50, verse 5. What do you mean by make an offering by fire? Well, what is he talking about? I know we read that, but what is he talking about? Let's read what he's talking about. 50, verse 5 there. Captain?
Psalms chapter 50. Verse 5, and it reads, gather the 12 tribes of Israel together to me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Oh, so he's saying the gathering is of the children of Israel. So the sacrifice you make is a 12 tribes of Israel make an offering, I mean show up. What do he want you to show up in 12:1 there, Mother E? Hey, Mother
okay.
E, what is wrong with 12:1 about this sacrifice? What are you talking about? This, you got to make a sacrifice by fire. What are you talking about that we can read? And Mother E of Israel had me Jeremiah 5:14 and 23:29 had that waiting on me. Jeremiah chapter 5:14 and 23:29 had that sent to the side from the Mother E of Israel. What you reading now, Mother E?
Romans chapter 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service.
Oh, you mean what Yahweh wants you to do in the sixth vocation is make your what, mother?
Present your bodies a living sacrifice.
You know what they say? You might hear them say, well, my mind was there. No, Yahweh ain't asking you about your mind. He's good about your mind. Yahweh said, do what? What is it do?
What did he say?
Don't worry, y'all was with me in my mind. But all that don't count. That come from another way. He said, no, that don't work. Well, you know, well, my mind was on keeping the peace. My mind was on it. No, that don't work. Yahweh said, do what again, Mother E?
Present your body a living sacrifice, righteous and acceptable.
You should make your body a living sacrifice, not your mind. Huh? Not your mind. I got to precept that. Now, so, you know, they're sitting around all about, my mind was on it. No, that don't work. If you got to show them now, that don't work. Your body got to be there. Your body. In the sixth location, your body got to be there. Not, well, my mind was on it. No, that don't work like that. That you come up another way. Now, we got to get a precept on that, Brother Titus. Let's go on to the book of Joel. Let's even get a precept on that. Let's see what he's saying in the book of Joel. We need a precept on that. That sounds pretty good. Your mind was precept. But they talking about their body. Well, my mind. But I said your body. You talking about your mind. Let's see what we can read. And Joel 2:12-13. Brother Titus.
The book of Joel the seer, chapter 2:12-13. Joel the seer, chapter 2:12. Therefore also now, says Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your mind, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Verse 13. And rent your mind, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh, your Yahweh, for he is merciful, righteous and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repent them of the evil.
He said, if you turn me right, if you do it the way I tell you do it, he said, I'm waiting on you. He said, I'm waiting on you to do it like I got it in this book. He said, all you got to do is come to think about this thing. When I got written this Bible, just do it the way I tell you do it. He said, make your body a living sacrifice. Body. Not your mind. Body. I'm slow to anger, but that don't mean I'm not going to get you. I'm laying it out the way I want to be done. So what he's saying, Mother, make your body a living sacrifice. What we read about, make an offering made by fire. What are you talking about that we can read in Jeremiah 5:14 and 29 and 23:29? What are you talking about, Mother? Let's even read a little bit.
Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 14.
Now, you remember we said earlier, when you come on the broadcast, have your five markers. Have your five markers. You put a mark in there because you never know. You might have come back to that verse. Look back to it, you'd be gone. I'm hearing a whole lot of pages turning. 5:14, what it say?
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, because you spake this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them.
See, your words is like fire. So again, when you at these feast days, your word is like fire. So that what he mean by making a fire. He said you got to bring it on out. Because if you don't have the seven trumpets, now you don't got the atonement. Do you have a clue what you don't came through to get to tabernacle? Boy, you don't went through. You don't seen a whole lot of that. That's why you have to have that great big fast. That not eat nothing, drink nothing for that whole day. Because what you just got to witness, that was big talk. So now that's going to take us right to tabernacle that we're heading on right now. What it said, 23:29, Moses?
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23 and 29. 23. But this people...
Hold on. 23:29. Yeah, 23:29, yeah.
Jeremiah 23?
29.
Oh, I thought...
Yeah, well.
23. Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, says Yahweh, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces.
So that means at the 7-day feast, you give that testimony by being you have came out of great tribulation. You have been on fast that day. We ought to rehearse in the righteous act. But if you make it to the tabernacle, that means you came through that fast. You have seen bodies of seven trumpets blown. You have seen people getting kicked in the rear end, everything. You have seen a whole lot of stuff. Remember, do you know what you were really looking at? Let me show you what you're really looking at. Look what you really seen. Hey, Maureen, let me show you what they were really looking at. And boy, if you make it to tabernacle, you know what you're going to see? In Psalm 91. Look what you haven't seen. If you make it to, so all we do is rehearsing the righteous act in 5-11 of Judges. But do you know what's written? That what you really have seen? Mother E going to tell you what you really don't see in the 91 chapter. What you really have seen. You don't see something in Psalm 91, Mother. That's
okay.
What I'm talking about. It's in verse number 8. What did you really see in Psalm 91, verse 8?
The book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
You ain't got no testimony that sound bad. You don't see the reward of the wicked. You don't see all the gold that been low down from all the way back to Adam days. Waking up and Yahweh delivering them up in grand style. And you see how you going, that's why I say, you see what the man saying? You going to see the reward. You going to have seen the reward of the wicked. See? And that's what you got to teach. You have been a saint to reward with a time sake. Let's run back again. This is the past 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're supposed to cut you off right now. Well, you do what you want to do if you want to cut me off. We got a lot of young lions take over. But this year, you don't be able to reward of that wicked. That old wicked. They don't got the wicked, you know, the WCC, the Latter-day Saints, and the Roman Catholic Church out in New York. They don't tuck it all up. Don't you know I'm going to get you sooner or later behind you being low down? Get you sooner or later. And I'm going to see it, the reward of the wicked. Now, let's come back to Leviticus 23 there, Captain. Now, what we leave off on? We left off on verse 37.
36?
What verse you left off on? Okay, you read 36? Okay,
yeah,
what is the next thing? We got that out the way. So now, we find out that the first day, okay, you on 36. Read verse 36 again.
Hallelujah. What? Leviticus 23, verse 36. And it reads, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh the Son. On the eighth day shall be a righteous gathering unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh the Son. It is a solemn assembly. And you shall do no servile work therein.
Okay, good. So on the first day, you're supposed to have a class. What are we supposed to have on the first day of this feast is what?
A righteous gathering.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Then the next righteous gathering, although in between, is just based upon something we're going to find out. See, in between, it don't have nothing to do with teaching anything. But we should be so out of it, a little teacher might go on. But the main days that the big time teachers will be on is what days, according to verse 36?
The first day
on
and
according to verse 36. So what now?
On the eighth day.
On the eighth day to be a righteous gathering.
The first day. Excellent, my dear Israel. The first day and the eighth day. You miss the righteous gathering where you do your big time teaching on them days. The first day and the eighth day, and all between, we're gonna find out what all between that we do properly in this lesson on what we do in between. But the first day, the white garments, all that good stuff. Eighth day, you know, first day and the eighth day. That's when it's all in between. We're hoping to find out what's in the middle of it. But the first day is the righteous gathering for some big time teaching on that first day. Then the second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, all in is a gathering. They're going to tell you about it. It's the time. That's why the other room is prepared for the 12 to bump heads to be clear what goes on in between and after. That's why we tell you, you get there, all 12, bump shoulders for you to be clear on what goes on in between if time don't permit us in this lesson. Now,
hallelujah.
So it's very important to understand some of the 12 and the 6 anointed caps, the first day and the eighth day. Because the eighth day is big business in the eighth day of Brother Micaiah. Do you know what that eighth day is about? That's big business. That first day and the eighth day. Then all of a sudden something got to happen, and we got to go back to the sphere of Brother Micaiah and find out what's supposed to happen. We got to go back and find out what's supposed to happen. In Ezekiel 43, Brother Micaiah, see, this is why we have to be knowing. And see, y'all going to know this. I mean, folks had it down pat. That's what the other room is for. But y'all be clear about it, because when they come before you, you can tell them exactly what's going on. So on his eighth day, look what Yahweh said. He may have a final statement in the 43rd chapter about the eighth day. And we're going to read what he say about the eighth day. Now listen to what he said that we can read in the 43rd chapter about the eighth day. What did it say in verse 27?
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, and we want verse 26. We're going over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, and we want verse 27 reads, "And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forth, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings. And I will accept you," says Yahuwah.
He said it's on the eighth day. He says, "Seer got to make another prayer for you. Then I'm going to accept you." So the seer got to watch you real carefully, see what you're on. He said the seer, and then the one that's been anointed to do that in other camps, they will have to step up and make sure you see what the seer sees. He said, "Then
hallelujah,
I will accept you on that eighth day." See, you hear what he's saying? He said, "Now when the 7 days expire, now you'll complete that tabernacle you've done the 7 day and that eighth day. And when that eighth day comes," he says, "and forward, the seer shall make a atonement unto the altar." Now that burnt offering here. "And your peace offering. And I will accept you." So the Yahweh ain't going to accept you unless the seer see that you doing the right thing. I mean, it ain't not a person. It's Yahweh's business. You can't be accepted unless the seer looking right at you. Or you know, with the anointed on the other camps, which I have did, because they all going to make sure they come present before it unfolds and get to be anointed to take care of his business. Because we read that in 1 Kings 9, in the other lesson, when he mentioned the seer, anoint them elders to go take care of some business. See, I can't be in all six places at the same time.
That's right.
But that's where the elders got to be prepared to understand their role.
Mm-hmm.
And the seer folks really sit back and watch the elders perform this in grand style.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to accept their role according to as it's written. Okay? That's what I mean about the priest, the elder. But the seer got to show you the way first. And once you got it, you're supposed to go. And you're supposed to keep running this old back and forth, and you're playing like they don't do no, never mind. This is the responsibility of top leadership to do this.
That's right.
Now we got a case in point in the 42nd chapter of Job, Brother Micaiah. We're going to get a case in point. We're going to look at verse number 8 and 9. We're going to get a case in point, 8 and 9. Job 42, Issachar's boy, 42, verse 8 and 9.
Going over to the book of Job, Issachar's book. We want chapter 42, and we want verses 8, and we want verse 9. In the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 8 reads, "Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant, the seer, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant, the seer, shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your father, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant, the seer." Verse 9. Eliphaz, and the Temanite, and Baldad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Nemanite, went and did according as Yahuwah commanded them. The Yahuwah also accepted the seed.
You see that? So you see, this is how it goes. So now, this is how it goes. If you try to come up another way and not do it the way the ones that have been anointed, they can be in the seer's room and place the elders out of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, them camps. They're going to show up and get the anointed and make sure they can do this because we can't be at all places at the same time. But in the same token, Camp 1, same thing. This job will be prepared for those that's in leadership. You're supposed to be always prepared to do your role in leadership. That's the way it's supposed to be. So we'll come back here in a minute. We gotta bring our elder in and make sure we get a close closing statement on how to take 1, 8, and 9 and bring mothers in. And I see the body. See, so you got to know your role. on what you're supposed to do, and we'll show you more about it after the elder give his closing statement in 189. Elder Tibbs, you're on the clock for take number 189. You're on the clock. Come on. Elder Tibbs, you're on the clock for take number 189. It's the same Latter-day Saint. We going to mute the elder. All right. Where's your radio station? Mother Z. Well, we know you heard a whole lot, Mother Z, and we know you have done a whole lot of writing already, so we're going to bring you in, Mother Z.
No.
Find out exactly what do the Almighty put on you to tell this national audience over 600,000 strong in the national side. Mother E, Mother Z, Father Yah God Judah, Yahweh beat you to see right.
Yeah, well, bless and keep you still, Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right there, Mother Z. Well, y'all know you heard enough to give us, give the mass and the audience what the Almighty put on you. You on the clock, take your time, come on.
I'm going to read in Leviticus chapter 25, starting at verse 1. And the Yahweh spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Yahweh. Verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt purge the vine and gather in the fruit thereof. Verse 4. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Yahweh. Thus shall neither sow thou fields nor purge thou vines. Verse 5. That which grow of it its own according of the harvest, thus shall not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vines undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Verse 6. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, and for the servants, and for the maid, and for the hired servants, and for the stranger that sojourn with you. Verse 7. And for the cow, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Verse 8. And thus shall number 7 Sabbaths of 7 Sabbaths of years unto the 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Verse 9. Then shall thus cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. Shall he make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Verse 10, and ye shall holler the 50 years and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall
return
every man unto his own possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. I'll stop at verse 12. Verse 11, and the jubilee shall the 50 years be unto you, and be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which grow of itself in it, neither gather the grapes in it, for of the vine undressed, verse 12, for it is the jubilee, it shall be righteous unto you, ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And I'm going to stop and say, hallelujah.
Captain. And we want to come back. Now, we just finished verse 36, or that 23rd chapter, verse 23, 36. Now, we want to read verse number 37. Let's see what it says in verse 37. I'm going to try to hopefully just get a few nice jabs in verse 37.
Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 37. And it reads, these are the feasts of Yahweh the Son, which you shall proclaim to be righteous gatherings, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a living sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day.
So what he's supposed to do according to his day. So, you know, every day he covered a whole lot of stuff. We can't take you all. We take it again tomorrow on that. But we know it's the 7 days. All the days is a righteous gathering. The first and eighth days, that's where you really do some great teaching. All in between. We're going to find out what all in between means shortly. Verse 38.
Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 38, and it reads, beside the Sabbath of Yahweh the Son, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows or your words, and beside all your free will offerings, which he gives unto Yahweh the Son.
Mm-hmm. Good. 39. We're saying 39. This is good. 39.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39, and it reads, also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh the Son 7 days. And on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. So you see that? The first day, a Sabbath, these high Sabbaths, and all in between. And the eighth day, that's when the big-time teaching come in. But all in between is he got something going on in between. We want to find out what he got going on in between. Now, he's going to tell you something in verse 40. What did he say in verse 40?
Hallelujah. Leviticus 23, verse 40. You shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yahuwah the Son, your Yahuwah, 7 days.
So now, what are you trying to do? What is he doing? So he's telling you, he's showing you a sign of these 7 days that you're supposed to make you temporarily shelter. And that's why, whether you see it or not, all that great big old, the harvest is plenty and the labor is fruit. So Yahuwah got all this land, and he's laying on this man for a reason, see right here. That as we unfold this thing, you're going to see what he means by you got to make you temporarily shelter for 7 days. But it's gonna more unfold, the more you get in line in Yahuwah's words, the more you'll be able to see. You will not be like Eliezer or Ishmael. They ask him, what do you see out there? He says, I don't see nothing but grass and I don't see nothing. See, soon or later, you'll see something that Yahuwah put before your eyes to see what you see. All right. So now he said, 7 days you're supposed to rejoice. Like, keep this in your mind now. 7 days you're supposed to rejoice. What does it say in verse 41, Cap?
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 41. And it reads, and you shall keep it a feast unto Yahuwah the Son 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month.
You see that? On the seventh day. So this is a celebration. This is a celebration for 7 days. So that's the reason he brought you together, because he most brothers and sisters, they just say, you know, they see each other. So he bring you together for a reason. For how many days?
For 7 days.
Hallelujah.
7 days.
7 days. And in them 7 days, you're supposed to do what in them 7 days? Rejoice in them 7 days.
Rejoice.
See, a lot of times, people can't stand they better have a couple of days. He's trying to bring the bonding to you. So that's why after you came out of them, it's the bonding part of these 7 days. This is when you really get to meet your brother and sisters, because you bonding. You see them every day. You out there in the open field, like I said right now, is a temple site. You're there 7 days. That is for a bonding period. He's trying to connect you together before you show your next move. That's called a connection, them 7 days. Some people can't stand see a person, I catch your next. Ain't no bonding in it at all. And you know, this is a bonding part of 7 days. Look what it says in verse number 42.
Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 42. And it reads, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Hallelujah.
You see the man saying? So he's trying to show you to bring that bonding back together. You have to be connected for these days. This is a connection. So you can't be, well, my mind is with you. No, no, no. You got to have your body present for them 7 days. Now, once you able to accomplish that, he going to show you greater things to come. And it's right around the corner. It's all about your connection. Just like you see all this open field, all of it here, this is playing a part, but it don't work until your connection get together. He's going to see how you act on the 7 day. See how you going to act on the 7 day. You got to show the rejoicing on the 7 day. Oh, I'm seeing you again. Oh, I'm seeing you again. Oh, I'm saying, yeah. Yahuwah is sending abundance for you to see you again. Well, can't cover all and just said, but we'll take care of more tomorrow. But in 7 days, it's a running process to come together as one to see the bigger picture. Because Israel got to remember, the nation is split. But Judah got to get together and bond first to be the sign for other nations. Look at saying verse 44.
Hallelujah.
Verse 44.
Leviticus 23, verse 44. And it reads, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, the feast of Yahweh the Son.
So this feast right here, it got nothing to do with the six of anointed calves. This is Yahweh's feast, and he's showing you what he wants, he require of you in these feast days. This is a bonding period where you come together as one, and you get a chance to find out how the family doing, how's it going in your life, and all that, you know, good talk. That's what the in-between day is about. Bring your meals, sitting down, talking good. It ain't about, although we're going to build a network, we're going to build a network at 7:30 all the way through them, but it's the point of the matter is, it's about the bonding part of it. It's about seeing your brother and sister for eight straight days. Bonding with them, making temporary shelter. That means you got your tents. And guess what? Just as you see his land, remember what we're telling you this time next year on the progress once this is fulfilled. See, Yahweh only will make a move as you make a move. He'll show you the way, but this 8 days is the burning period. And that's why he told you what's important to you, the world or his business. That's why he tell you don't get caught up in the world, love not the world, nothing in it. But if you get caught up, oh, my job did this and I did this, see, that you know that you're not all connected into Yahweh. So this is an eight-day get-together. That's why you got to fit your schedule months and months ago if you're about Yahweh's business to make sure you prepare for the burning part to get the blessing of Yahweh. This is an eight-day eyeball-to-eyeball call, but you're going to be chosen in this thing. Keep telling your mind. All right, we'll close out with that. Captain, you have to close. What's your closing word? We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. See you on the clock. Come on.
Okay. I want to go to Lost Book of Eden. Lost Book of Eden, and I'm going to read Lost Book of Eden. And I'm going to go to Fourth Book of Maccabees, Chapter 1. Fourth Book of Maccabees. 1 second, please. Let me get to this book. Fourth Book of Maccabees. Fourth Book of Maccabees. Hallelujah. Fourth Book of Maccabees. Okay. Fourth Book of Maccabees, Chapter 1, Verse 48. Fourth Book of Maccabees, Chapter 1, Verse 48. And it reads, for in the day when Yahweh the Father created man, when Yahweh the Son created man, excuse me, Father. For in the day when Yahweh the Son created man, he implanted in him his passions and inclinations, and also at the very same time set the man on the throne amidst the senses to be his sacred guide in all things. And to the mind he gave the law, by the which if a man order himself, he shall reign over a kingdom that is temperate and just and virtuous and brave. And I want to read Fourth Book of Maccabees, Chapter 2, Verse 49. Okay. Not so, for the law teaches us self-control so that we are masters of our pleasures and desires and are thoroughly trained in manliness so as to endure all pain with readiness. And it teaches justice so that with all our various dispositions, we act fairly. and it teaches righteousness, so that with due reverence we worship only Yahweh, who is. Verse 52. But it is the act of a tyrant that you should compel us not only to transgress the law, but to also make us eat in such manner that you may mock at this defilement so utterly abominable to us. So, and that's, we don't want no one to reject this word. We don't want no one to reject this word and make Yahweh call you a fool, because we know Yahweh, if he call you a fool, you on your way to that fire where that worm at, the eternal worm. And I pray that we can be the people that look upon those that rejected his word. And in your son's name I pray, hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's right, Moses. So that's the bottom line is, see, this was him that drill and boots mean for 8 days is when you got to see your brother and your sister that's on the same page for 8 days. And it's going to be, you think you're saying something this year. Wait till next year. We tell you up front. We tell you all we got to do is be in order. Yahweh going to show his hand through this ministry, but you got to find out what 12 is going to do things according to the Bible. Now, Mother E, we're going to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, Mother D of Israel. Mother D of Israel, what does it say in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19?
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, reads, "And I will give them one mind, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony man out of their flesh, and will give them a mind of flesh."
You see that? So them 8 days is to get that stony heart out of you. Get you on the path. You are a Genesis 4 verse 9 and a closing statement, Mother. Give me Genesis 4 verse 9 and a closing statement. So you got to, when it comes down to the 12, that means you are a Genesis 4 verse 9 and a closing statement. What it say?
Genesis chapter 4 verse 9. "And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?"
Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to 12, you're supposed to not say, "I know not." You've seen the 12 for 8 days because Yahweh is going to show something to 12 for time to come. If you can't stomach your brother or your sister for 8 days, how you going to take care of the kingdom to come? And you can't get past 8 days. But if you be around a person long enough, you'll see exactly where they're coming from, too. So Yahweh got a lot of things to show in these 8 days. Keep that in your mind. All right, Mother of Israel, what's the closing saying behind that? And Brother Titus, have me Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10 down to verse 13. Have that waiting on me. The closing saying of that, Mother of Israel, come on.
Well, my closing statement is the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 11. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 11. "Let our strength be the Torah instruction of justice, for that which is feeble is found to be nothing worth." Hallelujah.
We got to find out in the 12 and all the rest accounts who are people also. We got to find out. You got to know what you got to know. If you be around a person long enough, you will find out what you know. And that's why he made a final statement. What he says in the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Listen to what he's saying here.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10. "For the ear of jealousy heareth all things, and the noise of murmuring is not heeded." Verse 11. "Therefore, beware of murmuring, which is unprofitable. And refrain your tongue from backbite. But there is no word so secret that should go from nothing, and from the mouth that believeth slayeth the person. Verse 12. Seek not death in the error of your life, and pull not upon yourself destruction with the works of your hand." Verse 13. "For Yahweh may not..." "For Yahweh made not death, neither has he pleasure
and the destruction of the living.
See, remember one thing. If you in temporarily shelter, we told them to make the children of Israel. That means temporary shelter for being in tent. And you know, and sometimes, you know, your boys in the tent will carry real far. And you have you say something with somebody else to hear. And that's the same thing about these 8 days. Somebody can say some things, you know, but this is Yahweh doing. We just got the platform of a 600 council to be doing. This is him doing. It's going to be marvelous in your sight. But then we'll start to complain. Oh, I got to do this. You see, that's the spirit Yahweh is saying. You have to make sure you be watching in the 12, in the other camp. Mm-hmm. Let's see how you roll on them 8 days. Let's see how many excuses you're going to make on taking care of Yahweh's business. See, all that you need to know, and we'll take it out of tomorrow. So now read verse 10 again, read 1:10 again, and I want to precept that with Brother Micaiah. Read verse 1:10 and close the statement again.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10. For the ear of jealousy to hear it all things, and the noise of murmur is not heed.
You see it? You see, the ear of jealousy hear all things, and that murmuring spirit is not healed. And it folk, don't folk be in the trail. So
hallelujah.
The ear of jealousy hear all things. So he will have you to be in that position to hear how you really feel about Yahweh's word. And you folks take notes on it. So that's how important that 8 day is. So you're gonna be eyeball to eyeball on the one on the 8 day. Let's see, because remember, nothing covered that was not. Anything covered gonna be revealed. And that's what Yahweh is trying to show you. I know you already showed the seal already. They trying to show you. Close the statement, you're on the clock, come on.
All right, Wisdom of Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. For righteousness is immortal. Verse 16. For they are Yahweh's man, and their works, and their words, call it to them. But when they had thought to have it, their friend, they consumed to nothing, and made the covenant with it, because they are worthy to take part with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is not that, you know, see, remember, everybody have a role to play. And Seer's job is to watch how you react in the 8 days, you know. So that's why you have to make sure you say what Yahweh require you. Remember we read earlier? What do Yahweh require you? He require you, children of Israel, is to understand you got to sit your thing around me. You can't sit your thing around the world. But now, Brother Titus, Micaiah, read that 1:10 one more time, and I want to see who is this right here that we can read. Remember, the precept will tell you exactly who this is that got his ear on you. Real good, but not the point. He already know what you're going to do. But it's for you to see what you need to know. Position yourself. We're in Psalm 1, verse 10. Brother Micaiah, what it say?
Okay, we're going over to, we want the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10. 10 reads, for the ear of jealousy hear all things, and the noise of murmuring is not his.
Mm-hmm. Is that? So the ear of jealousy hear everything. See, the ear of jealousy, hear all things. Mm-hmm. And he'll put you in a position where you hear. You might have, you walk past in time to come, somebody in the tent. And you walk past, he might put you right there here. Oh, I didn't know that person feel like that, because your tent, it's going to carry sounds out of it real quick. All you got is different with your tent. And you up in there. Back biting like somebody rubbing your back like a washboard or something.
Excuse me.
jealousy is, who does jealousy hear all things? Back in Exodus chapter 34, verse 1, 14 through 16. We'll get back on this tomorrow. Remember, this is a fast 3-hour broadcast. I'll never see time go this fast. 3 hours. In 34, Micaiah, verse 1, 14 through 16. Let's find who is this ear of jealousy. Who is this that we can read?
I didn't hear the book too clear. Can you hit the book for me one more time?
Ezekiel 34, verse 1, then skip down to 14 through 16.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Ezekiel. We want chapter 34. We want verse 1, and then we're going to skip down 14 down to 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 reads, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says Yahweh. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will stretch that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed him with judgment.
Okay, Brother Micaiah, that sounds real good, but is there the 34th chapter? It seems like I'm missing my hit, but I take care of it tomorrow night. No, it's something else that I want to bring out. But it's not that nothing that you done your part, but it's something that I want to bring out. But then you want that brought out. But no problem about that. Now give me Hebrews 12:1-2. We'll close out with that at the closing statement. We'll get back on tomorrow, but we're gonna find out more about this this ear or the spirit of jealousy, and he don't like murmuring, and he got to expose those that have that spirit, and the best way you expose them is put them in a spot 8 days or watch them for them days and see what they do. That's all you do. You watch them. What statement they make? Hebrews 12:1-2 to close the statement. We'll get back on tomorrow. We'll pick it up. Probably pick it up right here tomorrow.
Okay.
About this the ear of jealousy. Let's go and close out in Hebrews chapter 12:1-2. And the closing statement.
Okay.
Catch everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Yes, sir. All right, we're going over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 2, looking unto Yahweh the Son, the author and finisher of our faith covenant, who for the joy that was set before him endured the tree, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh the Father.
Hallelujah. So he said now, so he's a captain about salvation. So he said, I went through it. I went through the 8-day feast. Remember when he read over there in the early part of the 7th chapter? He went through that 8-day feast. He knew they was on him on every side. He took care of the Father's business. That's the spirit he tried to tell you. You got to endure. You can't let nothing separate you from you doing his will. It's a great reward when you doing his will. You leave it like that. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Brother Micaiah, take us on in. We catch everybody tomorrow. You on the clock. Come on.
Yeah, well. Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for a wife and children to be able to teach them the Torah instructions of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, to be able to meet the seer and learn under the seer. Thank you, Yahweh, for the teachers of the elders, the mothers, the teachers, the brothers and sisters and all the six anointed caps. And we're going to, I want to read in the book of Sacanezus, chapter 2, picking up at verse 38. 38 reads, arise up and stand. Behold, the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahuwah, 39, which are departed from the shadow of the world and have received glorious garments of Yahuwah. 40, take your number, O Yahdatu, and shut up those of you that are clothed in white with fringes on a ribbon of blue, which have fulfilled the law of Yahuwah,